Hello and welcome to My Brother and Me commentary track. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
And we're joined by a special guest, director and showrunner of My Brother and Me, J.D. Amato. J.D., welcome.
Steven Spielberg. Hi, Steven.
Hello, boys. It's me, Steven Spielberg.
That's the way he always introduces himself.
Hey, Steve, great work on all the movies.
Thank you. I enjoy My Brother and Me. Now I must return to my home planet. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Steve.
If you want to download the episode while we're chatting about this, we're going to be doing Resumes and Jamiroquai's Dad, which is the second episode of our television show about Jobs. Before we get started,
should we talk about the naming convention for the episodes? Because it's been a year at this point.
Yeah, I don't remember. We just had to, we wanted to smush together two random things to make the title seem funny.
Yeah. Guess. So, mission accomplished.
It was, the naming convention was, it was a word that represented the theme of the episode and a goof that we thought was funny.
And Jamiroquai's Dad was the one we really wanted to highlight. It was a pretty good one. This might be my favorite episode, I think, pound for pound.
Really?
Yeah, because this was the one where I think like the idea of what the show was when we were planning it out, kind of came together for me. And there's some gags in this one that were like primordial stuff, I feel like. The opening gag was something that we had talked about well before we started recording.
Now, that said, and JD, correct me if I'm wrong, but I am fairly certain that this was actually the last episode that we decided to do. We actually took out a Bigfoot episode that we were thinking about doing because Travis thought, and rightfully so, that we didn't have really like many grounded episodes that were really sort of like related to real life at all. And so we went back and selected this question in its place. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have the Clown Box episode and the Secret Society episode. And like, after all that, I think we were like, we need something that is more real.
And I think the big thought was, one of the first ones you decided to do was the dorms and ghoul smashing where you guys were looking ghosts. And we're like, looking for ghosts, looking for Bigfoot is the same thing. They're both things that aren't real. Apologies apologies to people who believe in Bigfoot and ghosts, but
to the Huntington Ghost Hunter Society.
I will also say that like this was really, and JD can probably address the first half of this better than I can because we were doing it, but it was tough at first for us to start shooting stuff, and a lot of the stuff you see in the first episode, dorms and ghoul smashing, I think we reshot because we were very obviously uncomfortable shooting. And this, the bit where we're getting different jobs is the first thing we filmed that felt funny to me while we were filming it. So it's like an important sequence from that perspective. JD, how bad were we when we started?
You guys were so nervous. There was a moment, I think you've mentioned on the podcast, where the first time that we ever started recording something, the first take, where it was like, all right, sound speeding, camera's rolling, here we go. All right, and boys, take it away. And you guys just sort of sat there quietly and looked at me like, what do we do right now?
Yeah, I don't know if that made the episode. It's definitely available somewhere as like a deleted scene on Verve if it's not in the episode. But the bit where we're like, you can't just say go, like that was not actually a bit. That was us like, oh shit, like what do we do?
And there's something, process-wise, to get into the process of how we shot the show a little bit is, you know, there's stuff that as you watch an audience member, you're like, oh, you know, I know that that's like, quote unquote fake, like they're all in on it, but for the most part actually there's nothing, even stuff that was stupid, that even stuff that we should have faked or just done like scripted takes of, almost everything was, we didn't really know what was going to happen, or we threw you guys into a situation and saw how it unfolded. Like in this episode, in this episode we have like phone calls where the people on the other end didn't even really know what was going on, and situations where it probably would have gone smoother if we had explained it or explained it to you guys. And instead we just sort of take it piece by piece.
This is not a lie. When I was told we were going to a place called Bow Love, I really thought it was like a hunting, like bow and arrow archery store until we got there.
Yeah.
And then I got there and I was like, oh, okay.
All right. Let's get rolling.
before we get started, we do need to get started, but we should mention, because I think he's in this episode, and I don't know how, like, I don't know how much people know about this, but Chief Ciccarelli very recently passed away, which sucks. It's a huge, huge bummer. And he was so great on the show and was a very nice and very patient dude with us.
And we should also say he had been ill for quite a long time.
In fact, to heighten what kind of assholes we are, this is a fun story that will help to soothe the burn of finding out about Chief Ciccarelli's passing. We had a scene planned for Chief Ciccarelli. We had actually more stuff planned to do with him than you see in the series. And we showed up to shoot and he wasn't there. And the three of us, being hilarious, just started doing some great riffing about, oh, I guess there must be some big crimes he had to stop.
We did not know. We had no idea.
Until JD pulled us aside and informed us that he was in late stage cancer, and that is why he was not present, which I felt like an asshole in my life before, but Hachi-machi,
that was
that
some
one,
next level stuff.
That was
well,
some
I will
level.
Say, though, to that point, to then highlight how wonderful he is, like, he worked really hard and, like, insisted on showing up and doing the show because he didn't want to let us down.
Yeah.
And he was just a great dude.
He's a great
I know
dude.
It's a bummer. I know it's a bummer to, like, start out the commentary track like that, but I wanted to say something because he was a really nice guy, and we're really sad that you know, he's gone.
Yeah. It's something that I want to mention, too, is, shooting in Huntington, one of the things that stuck out was the amount that everybody really came together to help the show. Between the mayor and the mayor's office, all the businesses that we worked with, people on the street, the Huntington film and television community, and specifically Chief Ciccarelli and the police department, they went above and beyond to help the show in so many ways. Number one, like you guys were just saying, when we pitched the idea to them, that he's in the show, his staff was so excited. He was on board. He's not a guy that's comfortable being on camera doing comedy stuff, but he thought it was so fun that he wanted to try to make it work. And then on top of that, they heard all the stuff we were doing, and like the Safety Town section that you're going to see, all the props were stuff that apropos of nothing, they, like, without us asking, they gathered all of these uniforms and props and things like that, and were like, hey, you guys should use this stuff. They helped with permits, and they gave us, in the Tranches episode, they gave us like a whole police processional.
Yeah.
They said we might send a couple cars over, and they sent like 14.
It was amazing.
Like cars and bikes. It was so good.
Okay.
Anyways, Chief Ciccarelli was the nicest guy, and him and his team really went above and beyond to make the show work.
We're going to start the episode. Some of you, if you're watching on Verve without ads, which I would recommend, you'll have to pause it if ads come up on Verve. If you're not watching it with like a premium account, I don't know if on Verve it has the CISO logo at the beginning. So on iTunes, it does. So what I'm going to do is here in a second, I'm going to say now, and then I want you to pause it and then press play again when the CISO logo disappears, so that way everybody will be in sync, if that makes sense to y'all. Does that make sense? Okay.
Are you going to give us a countdown so we can sync it up?
Yes.
I've missed how this is working.
You don't have to worry about anything. This is instructions for people watching at home. The four of us are going to do something different. But if you're watching at home and listening, here in a second, I'm going to say now, and I want you to pause it, okay?
I'm going to be shouting the word now as
JD,
a decoy.
Don't do anything. You're fine. 3, 2, 1, now. Okay, so now. This is episode 2 of My Brother, My Brother, Man.
Man, it makes me so happy to see this. So the Pepsi shirt was, most of our cold opens were, I think every other cold open was pretty raw. But the Pepsi shirt was like, I said, while we were planning the show, I'll buy a Pepsi shirt. Cause JD was telling us how they have to Greek everything.
Now, Griffin, how did you settle on two different Simpsons shirts?
I thought it was very funny. You know, I'm a born comedian, born comedian. We should talk about the fact that there was like a running gag, and I don't know if it really worked in the show, of us thinking we couldn't even say the names of brands or living human beings or reference like song titles or anything.
It never really makes the show, and it actually confuses things every now and then, because you guys, the whole joke was you would take the long way to describe a brand or something, and I don't think it's ever described that that's what you're doing. You're trying to avoid saying a proper name.
Hey, it's Dad.
There's Daddy.
Hey, Daddy. We used to try to force JD to cut by starting to shout brand names because we thought that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very fun. It was like the kind of thing that while we were making the show, it tickled us like a lot, but out of context makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it's that thing of like we were very tickled with the novelty of doing a TV show, but if you're watching a TV show, that's not really that funny to you because you've watched lots of TV shows.
Here's a fun little factoid is that the legal department almost made us blur Travis's tattoo in that horse shot.
Oh, really?
Oh, because of the Triforce.
And I had to go like, no, we're not blurring Travis's physical tattoo that's permanent on his body.
Yeah, that would raise way more questions.
And that's what I said. I was like, people are going to think it's like a swastika or something.
Justin also
has a They Might Be Giants tattoo, which would probably be.
Yes, yeah. I didn't bring that up when that was mentioned.
This is one of my, I love this opening because like, I don't know, it kind of sort of fits in with the theme of the episode, but was also just like a weird bit to do. And Griffin went on for so long.
I was so disappointed that Pornography for Birds was the only thing that made the cut because we literally did this for 20 minutes.
I guess that's a good question for JD. How do you sort between the gold?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is there is... Every bit that we did was like 30 to 45 minutes of footage. And our first edits, if you guys remember, were like each episode was an hour plus. And we were all like, yep, perfect. And then
all funny.
CISO was like, how about we make them like a quarter as long? And CISO, I really had to fight for the
length. You know what? We can dunk on CISO now that they're dead. Like, it didn't need to be. Who would have been upset by hour long episodes? Like, there's just no reason to be upset by that. Like, it's just. It says, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have been as funny. I don't know, but it's an hour. Like, they didn't have, they wanted us to keep it to 22 minutes, which is the length of a half hour of entertainment with commercials removed on network television, which is just wild to me.
Yes, thank you, CISO, I was able to convince them away from that, though.
Thank you, CISO, for the opportunity. Thank you, CISO, for letting us make the show. We should mention that there's also a deleted scene, I think, on Verve of another one of these ideas, which was a new cool toilet, and then Travis says, with flames on it, and then I think it's such a good idea that we trade seats and then repeat the bit, literally word for word again, and trade seats again, that I think is fucking very good.
Little tiny reference that I, watching captions, forgot I said, but I sometimes use the say monies. We don't have this monies. And it's a reference to a Stella, the Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter, David Wayne, where Michael Showalter would often say, we don't have this monies. And it was always so funny.
So that's a joke that Travis stole.
That's a stolen joke.
No,
that
that's
one's
called
stolen.
That's called an homage. It's called a reference.
Yeah, theft or theft.
JD, do you want to talk about the look of the show since we're kind of looking at the HQ? Sort of visual touchstones that you were...
Yeah, and it's actually interesting that you bring it up now because we ended up shooting this in what was formerly the Wright's Department Store right in the middle of downtown Huntington. But Travis just told the story about
the kennel,
and we actually almost shot in the kennel as our location. It was a giant, big concrete location, and it was not good, but I will admit a weakness of my own is that the only reason we really even almost considered it was because I was so mad. As we were checking it out, there was a particular member of our team who was so adamantly against it, and they were being very vocal about it in the moment. And I was like, we need to take it in and look at all options, to the point where I was like, well, maybe we want to shoot here, actually. Maybe we do want to shoot here.
And didn't it still smell like wet dog, if I remember correctly?
Yes, it smelled like wet dog. Your man Jay is here to tell you it smelled like wet dog.
It would have been a disaster. We would have been miserable. And there was no air conditioning, I don't believe.
Yeah,
I think his call to Tommy was completely impromptu.
Yes, Tommy knew that we might call him, but did not know why or what or when.
It's a good photo of him. He's such a powerful man.
He is a giant. He's a giant man.
He has a big, powerful
body.
The
intimidation of Tommy is only like half joke here.
I mean, it's so weird. Because he's like the nicest dude, but he is also a giant. It's so weird to me to see myself on the show because my beard, this is the longest my beard has ever and probably will ever be.
Yeah.
And I decided to just leave it for, you know, the visual television show I was
in. I should also mention I've lost about 30 pounds since I filmed this, which is very distracting me when I watch it. So that is the main reason I want to do another season.
I have literally no gray hair in this, which is pretty wild to me because I am quickly becoming a silver fox.
My hair looks great, though.
Yeah, no, it looks good.
Instead of my nails, I don't know if I said it in the first one, they're both Sally Hansen. Wine Knot is the red and Dark Humor is the blue.
JD, visual look, aesthetics. You were going to talk about that before I interrupted.
Visual
you.
Look, I wanted it to feel like the like craft room or the like workshop in a theoretical childhood home of you guys that was littered with ephemera both from your childhood and from the show. So everything in the background is either a reference to the podcast or it's an actual thing from your guys' lives, like the trophies, the photos. Those are all actual trophies and photos of your guys.
And I remember talking in terms of like art design a lot about the thing that like got me excited was like you mentioned like Wes Anderson and Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I was like, oh, yep.
This bit right here, by the way, this is all complete legit. We did not let Griffin see the jacket we had pulled for him beforehand. Yeah.
Or told me that you were doing this bit.
I think we also came up with the bit while we were in the dressing room.
Yeah.
That it would be... And mine is just a tie. Yes. Mine is just a tie with my sleeves down instead of up.
Yeah, and Griffin didn't even know that where this bit was leading as well.
Which is really fun. So again, we were very vulnerable while we were shooting these early episodes, and to not be included on the bit was a real fun treat for me.
I think it's fun that Travis's idea of a business look is fucking cocaine Sicario.
Oh, I love the knitted Adventure Zone figures in the background.
Griffin was miserable, also because he realized he'd have to be wearing this very thick jacket that we borrowed from the theater department at Marshall for the rest of the episode, and it was not comfortable from what I remember you complaining about.
No, it was like wool, I think. It felt like a carpet bag.
All right.
So I was mostly uncomfortable here because this bit was coming up, and I knew we'd have to talk to real people out in the world, which is not our strong suit ever while shooting the show, and I was embarrassed, like straight up embarrassed to be dressed like this.
This was so fun because we literally, when we asked these people, like, what do you want us to do, they legit, like, said, well, you do this, and you do this, and, like, had us really doing things.
It was great. Everybody was super fun. Yeah, and this
wasn't like days of producing either. It was that same day we had producers walk down the street in Huntington and approach businesses and go, hey, do you guys need some jerks to work for you for a couple hours?
Okay, real quick, I want to talk about sweeping because it is not it's one of those bits that seemed like it worked in the moment, but not. I sweep.
I love this. Sorry, I'm funny.
I sweep in all the locations, and the reason I'm not in Bo Love was the joke was she told me I should sweep right at the beginning, and I left. And that's why I'm not in the Bo Love scene, is because we had a running thing about me always being assigned sweeper. I don't think it really congeals in the show.
She was so insistent on telling us about how handsome and cool her husband was.
Oh, this was legit. Like when Travis is getting the money, an actual person was actually checking out, and Travis didn't know how to do it, and it became this stressful moment.
There was no one there. No one was watching me, and I was just like trying to. I didn't know how the register worked or anything, so I just like ran away.
I also don't think I'm legally allowed to serve alcohol.
A lot of times when we leave scenes in the show, it seems like we do it for comedic effect, but it does happen because we get so uncomfortable that we have to actually vacate the scene, flee the premises.
One of our earliest bits that we had planned for this episode, we were like, this is why we want to do.
This was the thing that I feel like sold the show, was like us sort of talking up like, oh, we know everybody in Huntington and they would let us become the mayor for an episode. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, God. This is also one of my favorite scenes to shoot. This and the tarantula parade scene with Mayor Steve were my favorite because like he just looked at us and said no. And I was like,
How much did you sort of coach Mayor Steve before each scene, JD?
Zero. I would maybe tell him they're going to ask something stupid. I think the only direction I gave him is like, I was like, don't lie. Just be yourself. Act as if, like, I was like, treat these as if regular people came in and were asking these things. And he's like, got it. I'm going to treat them no differently than anyone else.
It was so good because there's a version of this where he says yes and it's very like,
well, that's an
it's very like, I worried that we were going to be ripping on Portlandia when we were doing this, and it's so the opposite of that because he is very not into a lot of our.
It's an interesting point that you mentioned business. Yes, anding, and like it is it's weird because that is normally how improv works, and we actively wanted people to know, but
like, well, the thing is, like, yes and doesn't always mean saying the words yes and, because the bit here is we are asking to do something ridiculous. So the yes and is I'm acknowledging the thing that you want to do is ridiculous and not just saying yes to it.
JD,
you
know, is the only professionally trained improv comedian here. Maybe you can address this topic that we're bloviating about.
Well, I think what works about it is that you guys are yesing everything. So even if they say no, even if they deny things, you guys accept that and change your path, which is what makes it fun, is that you guys are down for whatever happens. I love the pen is one of my favorite details.
The pen. We brought the pen, I think. That's not Steve's pen, is it?
Well, no, you guys brought it because it felt like, quote unquote, official.
Mayor Steve, too, like... Okay. He, like, almost every time, like, we were finished, he would break a little bit. He was just so good at, like, straight facing like, it.
This moment is so funny. This line he has.
There's so much of that. So much of people talk about our dad.
I should mention this in the last one, but the first day of shooting, I bought new shrink-to-fit jeans, and I put them on wet because I heard that's what you're supposed to do. So if I was distracted, it's because I had wet jeans. I had wet shrink-to-fit jeans.
I remember you claiming that was how that worked. These sections, I will say, are some of my favorite, but they were, I think we always ended up shooting like an hour's worth of stuff and we would get exhausted because those rooms were tiny and hot.
Yeah, but I think we prolonged it because we were all sitting. So that was good. Yeah.
Yes.
And this maybe we go, I think maybe the first two were or maybe even the first one was the only time we knew what we were going to talk to Dad about when we sat down. And a lot of it was just like, here's what we're doing, Dad, and then we'd spiral into weirdness.
Yeah, this is probably the hardest I laughed while recording the whole show. Yeah.
You'll notice every camera is shaking once the bit starts, and that's because all of our camera operators are like crying laughing. Because this was not, again, this was not like a bit that was planned. Justin really was having trouble.
I was worried. I didn't know if this one would work in context, because there's a lot of stuff that just felt when we were filming it like being a dipshit, like it,
yeah,
and it just sort of it worked later in hindsight, but
yeah, I worked so long with the graphics person to explain to get this graphically working so you could keep up with it as a viewer.
Well, yeah, that shaky cam, we really got him with this. I think this and when Travis got a hold of the Knights Templar, I remember the camera Alex, crew was getting Alex was getting like angry because the cameras were shaking very much during the Knights Templar bit.
Well, no, Seth was getting mad at Alex for laughing.
Yeah, Seth is our DP and Alex one of our camera operators. And
all credit to them for making this look really, it's a very good looking program, which I can say because I had no part in that, but.
Oh God.
Yeah, and it looks great considering that we were just shooting everything on the fly. Oh.
I don't know what that gesture is.
That's a
it's
wrap
like
it
Jack
up.
Black. Yeah. I did a good joke.
Oh, this dance is my favorite. One of my favorite jokes in the series is the one that Chief Ciccarelli delivers here when asked about the fitness test.
Uh huh. That's such a good line.
It's.
did the bit make it where I was very nervous in the lobby because I was afraid I was accidentally going to do a crime?
Not in this cut. It was. In
I don't
one
think
of
it
them,
makes
though
it. This. Yeah, I think it's in the outtakes that are on VRV though.
Making a show is really weird because we watched probably four different versions of each episode before we got the final one. So I remember being like super nervous when we got the like the DVD with all the episodes on it before the thing was out, because I was like kind of scared to find out what was going to be the I remember there was one episode, I think it was Teens, that we watched the first cut and all of us were just like, yeah, it doesn't work. And that was very, and I think it turned into something very, very funny, but I felt so confident while we were making the show, but then when things started to get like more real, like it gets kind of scary in a way that's kind of hard to explain.
Well, and for every episode we had something like 20 to 30 hours of footage. And so our editors, Vince Feller, Mike Choi, Greg Beck, and AE Amber Figueroa, like the amount of work they did to whittle these episodes down is amazing.
Shot in the show.
Would you say that shot, that intro to the bit was like the most Wes Anderson in the whole
It was
show?
Deeply Wes Anderson. Also, I was very cognizant of the fact afterwards that I had referenced Wild Boys, which I feel like is a show that is kind of shot in a similar style and is a different show that already exists, but
It was weird.
I don't think they sued
so
us.
Fun. Getting so the two fellows that are with me in this, my Beagle Boys, are like my two Huntington best friends. Like, it was the most like, hey, you guys come out and do. I just love that shot.
JD,
so much.
How concerned were you when
in the captions it says Duckburg. It's Duckburg.
How concerned were you, JD, that this would not work when we started? Because we had very little direction, by which I mean no. You basically told us to go out and fucking LARP.
I mean, it was insane because what we ended up doing is we assigned one camera to each of you, and then our audio person was mixing three different things at once, and you can physically see me sprinting from person to person throughout it in the background because you guys were basically doing three different bits that didn't necessarily overlap. And my hope was that comedically they would just crash into each other, which they sort of did. But it was the most that I was like,
how beautiful
all
is
right,
my wife?
Let's see what this is.
It's nuts. It's nuts the way we did this.
Michael has a constitution, by the way. It doesn't get highlighted, but that constitution just says Justin Rules and I signed it.
There's Jason.
JDE.
That's one of my favorite bits. I like that.
He has a computer because he was going to do IT for Chad Bennington, but that didn't get in.
Because here what's happening is a different camera operator is falling around each of you, and our audio guy is just in the middle trying to listen to mix every single one. Because there's only one audio guy for, at this point, 12 people doing three different things.
Steve-O, who, by the way, JD, came down when we were filming that other thing just to say hi.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was really cool.
He was one of the quote-unquote locals, and he was one of the best sound guys I've ever worked with in my life. Yeah. He was so professional, so good, so on top of things.
The handprints that you can see on me and Bradbury and Bob, literally we had our makeup person, whose name is escaping me. Who was our costume and makeup?
Nicole.
Yes, Nicole just like painted blue makeup on my hand, and then I just like pushed on them as hard as I could and then did it to myself.
Also, I want to point out... Oh, go ahead.
We just ended up with this weird Highlander look that I really enjoyed. Or not Highlander, I want to point out Braveheart.
That what unfolds here is legit, where they gave us very few rules. There's me running in the background to see what's going on. And immediately you guys started breaking every rule and it became chaotic to a point that was like, what's going on?
I will say though, none of the rules were communicated to us.
Had no idea.
No
the
idea.
Batteries, there's a scene where we steal batteries from Griffin and what we don't see is a shot of Bob just eating it. He's running with it and he falls down and like tucks and rolls with the battery and keeps running.
And that's what got us kicked out.
And then a couple
days later. This is what got you guys kicked out, this moment right here.
And then a couple days later, found out Bob needed to have like emergency heart bypass surgery. He's doing great now. But so apparently those batteries are like worth $1,000 each.
So they were.
There is an extended scene where I handcuff the two of you together and make you talk about the toilet crime you did.
This is also was like an hour of real time.
This is okay. So this is all real. And I will say, there was some bad mood slime in the drive back to HQ after this because these rules were not communicated to us and we don't like not knowing what rules are. So there's some bad vibes driving back to...
There are also some producers asking. That thought that we maybe mistreated the safety town and they were not happy about it as well. But I thought it was great television.
It all turned out fine.
No, it was good.
With the HQ, each of you technically had a section. It's not totally clear, but each of you have your own quote-unquote desk where your personal affects are around.
We had a whole thing that never made it in where I had different designs on my like drafting table that represented each episode.
I think you can see it in the opening zoom in.
Yeah, it makes it in. It makes it in.
This is my favorite. This was a bit when we were talking about like what would be a promo for the show that I fought really hard for this one because I think that this is the best example of like what we also do on the podcast, which is we like each take a joke and play it completely out and then go, now you do your joke.
I think this one still doesn't work. I think Griffin's is very funny, but I don't like mine or Travis's.
Really?
I think it
builds really well to Griffin's. Like, I think it works as a whole piece. I don't know that individually they stand out, but like...
I think the reason it bothers me, the reason I feel like it doesn't work for me, and I don't know if you're supposed to do this on commentary tracks or not, but I'll tell you what bothers me about it, is the entire show is predicated on it being like at least half real. And what bothered me about this for my bit specifically is that, like, it's very, like, it's a lot of kayfabe. Like, it's a lot of, like, pretending on my part that I would think this would be a good idea. And I think that's why it doesn't.
I want to make it clear that I think the high tech resume of the future is a great idea. This has become the, like, prevalent Griffin McElroy cosplay at conventions and stuff. Is me in the orange jacket wearing the thing. Also, the you know GIF has gone viral in a way that is very strange for me.
We should also talk about that we had such technical issues with getting this played.
It took like 25 minutes to get that to work.
Yes, because ultimately, the way we did this and all these bits is each of you would come up with your own bit and not tell the others, and then we'd unveil them on camera. And so Griffin spent like maybe 25 minutes programming this into this very difficult to program LED sign.
Which I think works in the show. It really bothered me when we were doing it because, like, I don't think I'm as funny as Travis or Griffin. So, like, I was always really paranoid about doing my own bit without their sort of consulting on it as we went.
That sentiment popped up a few times for all of us throughout the show. Just, and that I think is representative of, like, how nervous we were to be making a TV show.
Just real quick to jump in, I think the I love you was the hardest. I like legitimately laughed making the whole thing just because it really caught me by surprise. But I shot like a whole like Travis minutes or something where it was just me by myself doing something. And the whole time in my head, I was just saying like, this isn't funny. What I'm doing isn't funny.
I am heartbroken that it is not a deleted scene. Travis recapped the entirety of Entourage. Do you remember this, JD?
For obvious reasons, I think that one hit the cutting room floor.
And I think it took like 15 straight minutes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Of like high octane Travis just going beat by beat through what happened.
I love Tommy. I also had a thing about feeling like Teen Wolf and like looking like Teen Wolf. It made me pretty happy.
But Tommy had some other bits that he brought in. I remember he had some crates that were labeled G. That he said were the G files, which are all the things that Griffin had done bad, which I thought was kind of funny.
His bit where Travis walks in and he offers him a beer as a test it's very, very good. And
it legit got me because I've been over to Tommy's house so many times and accepted beer from Tommy.
By the way, the basketball that I have, I did a bit. Tommy loves basketball, so I like playing basketball. So I think I was gonna do like I can play basketball.
I think that's funny. There's so many remnants in this show of bits that was never explained to the audience. Oh, man.
During Griffin's whole bit with Tommy, everybody was like behind the monitor down the hallway.
Yeah.
Just like, especially when Dwight was in there and the whole writing the number on the piece of paper.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
That was so good.
That's I love that.
Tommy's response to my high-tech resume of the future, by the way, also didn't make the show, but when it pops up, it says that I'm young, dumb, and full of blank. He did not have, I think, a favorable response.
No. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that, like, it's not like any of this stuff is scripted. Even the Dwight, like, between Dwight, Tommy, like, they don't know what's happening or even what the circumstance is. So it's not like we've set up this bit.
Dwight Slappy, ladies and gentlemen, who was Griffin's manager.
When Dwight's telling Griffin he's too many digits, like, that's just Dwight reacting in the moment, and it's so funny.
This is right across the hallway from the Tridata Studios, where you shoot Things I Bought at Sheets.
You're too many digits.
Tridata Studios is right across. Tridata Studios is, I don't think we actually see the room. This is a conference room at Tridata. God, we worked for so long. We shot for a half hour trying to figure out what an ending to this is. We did a fucking Three Stooges hello, 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 where we popped in our three heads.
I would say that's probably the least successful bit that immediately hit the cutting room floor.
Yes.
This to me was the least successful. No, I hated shooting in this fucking hot tub.
This was so funny to me.
This is actually the Smurls house. Not our daddy's, but the Smurls house is in Huntington and daddy lives in Ironton. So
here's the amazing thing. So the height of the edge of the hot tub was just enough that all of our arms were falling asleep. Like we were all having huge nerve pain, which is why especially with Justin's arm draped over mine, it was cutting off circulation, which is why the thing with Steve-O coming over and taking off the mics is also like, please, please, please.
Well, also I was about to piss so bad I was going to die.
And on you guys are, I think they're like $3,000 to $4,000 microphones. Uh-huh. And if they get wet, they're ruined. So we were like, do not move, do not make waves, or you will ruin these microphones, which is why you guys are all like completely still.
It's a reference to episode 55 of My Brother and Me. We eat spaghetti in every one of these scenes. It's not super prominent, but there's always spaghetti is what we're always having at Daddy's house.
It feels really weird to sit in a pool in non-pool clothing.
Very disconcerting. Very, we're all wearing trunks, I think, though. I will say that.
Yes.
Griffin couldn't wear the jacket because it was borrowed. Didn't want to ruin it. That's why he's not wearing the jacket in the scene.
And then you'll see Steve-O, the sound guy we were talking about earlier. He comes in here.
Yeah. Steve-O, see in a deleted scene where we're just eating ring pops.
Yep. He's trying to irritate Christ, Steve-O. That's funny.
His reaction is all legit.
So that's episode two.
Yep. That's the second one.
Next year we'll have to do episode three.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, God.
Big giant head.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Wait. Thanks, JD.
There we go.
Wait, hold on. There's this.
I think this was the last thing we shot, maybe.
We shot this on Candle Nights.
This was shot before Candle Nights.
Changed into these outfits and...
It also took so long to point all of your pictures so that they weren't reflecting crew members.
All right, so that's the show.
That's TV.
That's TV, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.